The Holy Quran and the Institution of Prophets. Woe to those who do not ponder over the words of the Holy Book. Misled, they seek to mislead others. Woe to those who show their wrath against us, who refuse to be misled. They call us irreligious and kafirs. But a believer is not afraid of other people's threats. He is afraid only of God. What harm can one man do to another? Kill, at the most? But a believer is not afraid of being killed. For him, death opens the door to the vision of God. If only those who decry us knew what a treasure the Holy Quran is. It is a treasure which cannot be exhausted. It is to continue to meet human needs for all time. It contains teaching about the spiritual advancement of human beings such that other books do not contain even a fraction of it. If people had any idea of the value of the Holy Quran, they would not be content with the little knowledge they have gleaned. They would delve deep into the meaning and seek ways to please God more and more, and acquire nearness to Him. If they had known the value of purity of heart as against outward conformity, if they had cared for the spirit and not merely for the letter of the Holy Prophet's teaching, they would have tried to know the ways into which the Holy Quran invites them for their spiritual advance. Had they done so, they would have discovered that they care more for the shell than for the kernel, that they hope to enjoy a drink by holding an empty cup to their lips. Do they not read the Surah Fatiha, the first chapter of the Holy Quran? Does not the prayer in this chapter teach believers to ask God for spiritual rewards? Do they not repeat about 50 times a day the prayer, "Show us the straight path, the path of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy rewards"? If they do so, do they ever ponder over the meaning of rewards for which believers pray in the Surah Fatiha in their daily prayers? Had they even once prayed with their inward eye on the meaning of the prayer, they would have asked themselves again and again, "What is this straight path? What are the rewards which following the straight path is supposed to bring?" And had they asked these questions, their attention would have been drawn to the important verse contained in chapter 4, which says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَذُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا وَإِذًا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. And if they do as they are told, it would certainly be better for them and more effective in establishing their faith. And in that case, we would certainly have given them a great reward from ourselves, and we would have surely guided them to the right path. And he who obeys God and the Prophet, then such a one is of those whom God has rewarded, namely, the prophets, and the truthful, and the martyrs, and the virtuous. And what a good company are these. This is the grace from God, and sufficient is God as one who knows. It is evident from this passage that when a believer prays for the path of those who have been rewarded by God's blessings, he prays for the company of prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the virtuous. Therefore, as God has taught us this prayer through his prophet, a prayer we repeat about 50 times every day, and as the straight path for which we pray has been explained by God himself as the path at the end of which believers find themselves in the company of prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the virtuous, who can assert and how can it be possible that, for the followers of the Holy Prophet, the door to every kind of prophethood is closed? Would not such a thought be ridiculous? Can God teach anything ridiculous? Is it possible that He should, on the one hand, exhort us to pray for our inclusion among the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the virtuous, and, on the other, tell us that the reward of prophethood is now banned for the followers of the Holy Prophet and banned forever? God forbid that this should be so. God is holy and pure, free from all faults and all evil. If, for some reason, He had really banned the reward prophethood, then He would not have taught us to pray for the path which leads to those rewarded by God. Nor would He have declared so clearly that obedience to the Holy Prophet makes a follower blessed, and to be blessed, in the highest sense, is to become a prophet. It is said that the crucial verse in the passage contains the word ma'a, with, and not min, of or from. Therefore, it is asserted the prayer only entails the possibility of a believer joining the company of prophets, of being with them, not of them. But those who assert this forget that the verse does not speak of prophets only. It speaks also of the truthful, the martyrs, and the virtuous. If ma'a, with, in the verse implies that a believer is banned from rising to the status of a prophet, then we have to admit that he would be banned also from rising to the status of the truthful, or the martyrs, or the virtuous. It is not discontinuity of prophets only, but also the discontinuity of the blessed ones of lower degree that we must accept and become reconciled to. A believer who prays for inclusion with the rewarded must be content only to join their company. He cannot be one of them. A believer may join the company of the truthful, but may not be one of the truthful. He may join the company of the martyrs, but may not be a martyr. He may join the company of the virtuous, but may not be one of the virtuous. It means that all spiritual rewards and ranks are banned for the followers of the Holy Prophet. The most they may expect in response to their prayers and their exertions for spiritual merit is that they may join the company of one spiritual galaxy or another. They may not expect to acquire the status of others in any such galaxy. Each galaxy would consist of the followers of earlier prophets. The followers of the Holy Prophet can only aspire to join them as onlookers, not as equals. No true Muslim can entertain such a thought. Such a thought is derogatory to the dignity of Islam, the Quran, and the Holy Prophet. It implies that the followers of the Holy Prophet cannot aspire even to the status of virtuous believers. They can only aspire to the privilege of their company. The word ma'a, or with, therefore, cannot be taken in its superficial or literal sense. In that sense, the verse makes no sense whatever. It may serve the purpose of the ulama by banning the gift of prophethood for the followers of the Holy Prophet, but if ma'a is to be interpreted in this way, not only prophethood, but the other categories of blessedness, namely truthfulness, martyrdom, and virtue, will be banned likewise. The truth, however, is that the word ma'a, with, is not used only in the sense of simultaneity in time or place. It does not merely mean that two things or persons are found together. It often means also similarity or community of status. We have examples of it in the Holy Quran. Thus, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِي اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Surely the hypocrites are in the lowest depth of the fire, and thou shalt not find for them a helper, except those who repent and amend and hold fast to Allah and are sincere in their obedience to Allah. These then are among or with the believers. And Allah will soon bestow upon believers a great reward. In this verse, those who repent and do good deeds and are devotees of God and are sincere in their obedience are described as those who will be with the believers. If being with the believers is taken literally, it would mean that in spite of being penitent, doing good deeds, being devoted to God, and being sincere in obedience to Him, those who practice these virtues will not attain the status of believers, but will only be with the believers. They will only acquire the right of company, but not be their equals and among them. Such a consequence is absurd in the extreme. Therefore, we have to admit that ma'a, with, often means similarity or equality of status. It is similarity of status which is asserted in the words, they are with those whom God has blessed, in the verse in question. From other places in the Holy Quran too, it appears that the door to one kind of prophethood remains open for the followers of the Holy Prophet. This prophethood is an image of the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, and its purpose is to promote and propagate the truth of his teachings. Such prophethood will accrue from obedience and loyalty to the Holy Prophet. Thus, in the chapter Al-A'raf, God says about the Holy Prophet and his followers, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٌ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ إِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّنْكُمْ يَقُصُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِي فَمَنِ اتَّقَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ Say, this is what my Lord has forbidden, indecencies which are evident and which are hidden, and sin, and revolting without just cause, and that you join with Allah that for which He has sent down no warrant, and that you say of Allah what you know not. And for every people there is a term, so that when their term is come, they cannot remain behind for an hour, nor can they precede it. O children of Adam, if or when my messengers come to you from among you, relating my signs to you, then as to him who is reverent and does good, there is then no fear of such, nor shall they grieve. From this, it is evident that prophets will appear from amongst the followers of the Holy Prophet. The context relates to the followers of the Holy Prophet, and it is in relation to them that God speaks of the coming of prophets and reminds them of their duty to accept such prophets. If they do not accept them, they will suffer. If anybody wishes to suggest that there is an if in the Quranic text, and that this if makes the coming of prophets conditional and uncertain, it will not serve his purpose, because such an expression has been used in the Holy Quran in the description of the exit of Adam from heaven. But even if we take the if in the verse to denote a condition, it is evident that, according to God, prophetic revelation has not come to an end. A phenomenon which is avowed and which is no longer to be observed or experienced cannot be mentioned by God even in a conditional manner. To mention the impossible, even in such a manner, would be against the dignity of God. Besides the evidence of the Holy Quran, the sayings of the Holy Prophet also support the view that prophetic revelation has not come to an end. It is not completely and absolutely prohibited. The Holy Prophet has described the promised Messiah as a prophet. If, according to the Holy Prophet, no prophet of any kind was possible after him, why did he describe the promised Messiah as a prophet of God?